The World This Week, Politics.
Donald Trump said that America would rebuild Venezuela in a very profitable way, following the removal of Nicolas Maduro as the country's president. Chris Wright, Mr. Trump's energy secretary, suggested that America would control Venezuela's oil market indefinitely. Mr. Maduro was snatched by American special forces and taken to New York, where he pleaded not guilty to charges related to narco-terrorism. The American raid also involved the bombing of military installations across Venezuela. Delcy Rodriguez, Mr. Maduro's vice president, was sworn in as interim president. Mr. Trump warned that further strikes were possible if the government didn't cooperate. The American Coast Guard seized a Russian-flagged oil tanker that had slipped through a blockade of Venezuela. America had pursued the ship for 2 weeks, eventually boarding it between Iceland and Scotland. American forces also took control of a Russian shadow fleet vessel in the Caribbean. Venezuela is an ally of Russia. The ease with which America removed Mr. Maduro from power is an embarrassment for the Kremlin. The autocratic socialist regime in Venezuela, now led by Ms. Rodriguez, declared a state of emergency and cracked down on any show of support for America's deposal of Mr. Maduro. At least a dozen journalists were briefly arrested in Caracas and paramilitary forces deployed on the streets. Maria Corina Machado, the exiled opposition leader, said she wanted to return to Venezuela. Mexico's president, Claudia Sheinbaum, criticized America's intervention in Venezuela, but also reiterated her country's cooperation in security and fighting drug gangs. Mexico's oil exports to Cuba have become a focal point in Mexico's relations with Washington. Mexico sent 80,000 barrels to the island in late December. In 2025, Mexico overtook Venezuela as Cuba's main oil supplier, according to a news report. Flexing America's muscles in the Western Hemisphere, the White House said it was exploring options to acquire Greenland, which could include utilizing the military. Stephen Miller, a senior aide to Mr. Trump, suggested the Danish territory was rightfully America's and that nobody's going to fight the United States over it. The comments set off alarm bells in Europe. Mette Frederiksen, Denmark's prime minister, warned that seizing Greenland would mean the end of NATO. A statement signed by the leaders of Britain, France, Germany and other countries expressed support for Greenland and Denmark. Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, Mr. Trump's top international envoys, attended a meeting in Paris of Ukraine's allies, where they backed a plan to provide the country with security guarantees as part of a proposed peace deal with Russia. Mr. Witkoff said the guarantees would deter Russia from making further attacks after a ceasefire, which would be monitored by America, probably using satellite imagery and drones. Britain and France pledged to send troops to Ukraine if a deal is signed. The death toll from a fire at a bar in the Swiss ski resort of Crans-Montana rose to 40. At least 116 people were also injured. Investigators think celebratory sparklers may have started the blaze by setting alight the foam soundproofing that covered the bar's ceiling. The president of South Korea, Lee Jae-myung, paid a four-day visit to China, where he held meetings with the country's leader, Xi Jinping, and other senior politicians. Mr. Lee is seeking a reset in relations with China, which soured under his predecessor, Yoon Suk-yeol. For his part, Mr. Xi is keen to bring South Korea closer to his side on matters of regional security, amid renewed tension between China and Japan. Mr. Lee also hoped to persuade China to become a mediator with North Korea amid rising tensions on the Korean Peninsula. As he headed to Beijing, North Korea conducted a series of weapons tests, which included, it claimed, a test flight of a hypersonic missile. Escalating its feud with Japan, China banned exports of dual-use products, which can be used for military as well as civilian purposes. Japan described the ban as unacceptable and deeply regrettable. At least 38 people have been killed in demonstrations in Iran. The protests began with a strike by traders in Tehran, but have spread more widely, spurred on by Iran's economic crisis. Mr. Trump said that he would intervene if security forces killed peaceful protesters, pledging that America will come to their rescue. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, vowed not to yield to the enemy. Aidaros al-Zubaydi, the head of the United Arab Emirates-backed Southern Transitional Council in Yemen, was accused of high treason. The Presidential Leadership Council, which is supported by Saudi Arabia, expelled Mr. Zubaydi after he failed to fly to Riyadh for talks to prevent further conflict. Saudi Arabia said he ended up in Abu Dhabi. Saudi-backed air and ground forces then moved to attack STC positions. Gideon Saar, the Israeli foreign minister, held talks with the president of Somaliland on his first visit to the region since Israel became the first country in the world to recognize Somaliland's independence. Somalia, which views Somaliland as part of its territory, condemned Mr. Saar's visit as an unacceptable interference in its affairs. Faustin Archange Touadéra won a third term as president of the Central African Republic, according to the official results of an election that was held in late December. The main opposition parties boycotted the poll. Tim Walz decided not to seek re-election as Minnesota's governor, amid a welfare fraud scandal. Dozens of people, mostly from the Somali community, have been charged with stealing $1 billion by creating fake companies to charge the state for non-existent services. In one case, children were falsely said to be autistic and claims made on their behalf. Mr. Walz was Kamala Harris's running mate in 2024. With tensions high over immigration, a federal agent fatally shot a woman in Minneapolis. Federal officials said she had tried to hit agents with a car, which was disputed by local officials. Meanwhile, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services froze $10 billion in childcare and family assistance funding to California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, and New York, over what it said were concerns about widespread fraud. The five states are all led by Democrats.